So today we are going to be talking about foundations up here. And you don't need to be in construction to know that the foundation of a building matters. It's actually a fairly expensive part of building a house. I remember when I saw that when I built my house, I was like, wow, a basement costs a lot. But you can't take shortcuts when you're putting in the foundation of your house, or you will end up with windows that stick and doors that rub and squeak and cracks in all the corners of your drywall, and you will have a much more expensive bill to fix all those things when your house settles more than it's supposed to. My brother-in-law is a structural engineer, and so he gets called when people have bad things happen to their homes or their businesses. And there was a builder out in Davenport who bought some low wetland for cheap. And he thought, you know what? I'm going to add some dirt to this wetland, increase its elevation, put in some streets, and we're going to build ourselves some $700,000 and $800,000 homes. Well, those homes got built with their watertight basements, and the spring rains came, and the water filled that soil, and those homes popped up like pimples. Some of them elevated up to 12 inches in one corner because of that hydrostatic pressure pushing them up. They weren't deep enough in their foundation for what that soil was doing. Probably the most famous example of an improper foundation was put in the 12th century, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Found out it actually was leaning one way when the builders started building, so they tried to correct it. They overcorrected it, and it shifted the other way and has been at 5.5 degrees off center for 900 years because they built on soft land, they didn't go deep enough, they didn't hit bedrock, and that tower has been crooked ever since. You see, when you're going to build a big, heavy structure, you want to make sure that its base is set on something solid that's not going to move or shift. So you spend the time, you take the time, you spend the money to dig down deep, to put the foundation so far down that you're assured that your structure isn't going to move, that the wind can blow on it, that the rain can come, the soil can get saturated, and your building is going to remain secure. That's what this house built on the Gulf of Mexico did. I don't know if you remember this picture. In 2018, Hurricane Michael came through the Gulf Coast, and this was the only house left standing. The owners of the house said, we're going to make this hurricane-proof. So rather than just meeting building code, they drove their pylons 40 feet deep into the sand. And they did extra hurricane ties. They did everything they needed to make sure that this house was going to be secure. And the only other one that stood was the one right behind it that was blocked by the wind by this house. And so this is exactly what our story with Jesus is actually going to be talking about today. Jesus tells us that there's two ways that you can build your life. You can wisely build your life on a solid foundation, or you can foolishly build your life on shifting sand, and then suffer the costs when you can't survive the storms of life. If you want to open your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. We're picking up actually at the very end of the famous Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' longest single teaching that we have in any of the Gospels. He had a huge crowd, and it's 3 chapters long of a ton of Jesus' teaching and how to live and what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to be one of his disciples. And at the very end of this Sermon on the Mount, we're going to be in verse 24, the very last piece that he says. It's his conclusion that pulls it all together. And he gives this parable that we're going to look at today because he wants this large crowd to recognize that his goal for them is to not just hear this sermon and walk away going, wow, what a rabbi, that was fantastic, great message, Pastor Jesus. But he wants them to walk away with a heart that is changed and saying, I need to change some things in my life. So this is the story he tells them in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, before we jump into what Jesus is trying to convey with this parable, I need to give you a little background about how houses were built back then. You see, I assumed when I read this parable many, many times that it was about finding the right place to build your house. Go find that outcrop of rock and build on top of that. Don't go build in a silly spot on sand. But then I was reading this week and I found that actually in the area around Galilee where Jesus was raised, where his dad probably taught him how to be a carpenter and how to build, they were known for having sandy soil 8 to 10 feet deep before you hit bedrock. And that sand would get really hard in the heat of summer, or to the point where it felt like it was hard pack and you could build on it. I thought, that sounds like Iowa clay. Does it not? In the summer, our clay gets so hard, but we also know what happens in the spring. You walk on it and you can have your boot go in 6 inches and get sucked right out. And so archaeologists in the 1970s were digging around this area where Jesus was raised, and they found that houses back then had foundations dug up to 10 feet deep, reaching to the bedrock. So the story isn't about going and finding where to put your house. It's about, are you willing to pay the price and put in the time to dig the foundation of your house down to the bedrock before you start building up? Or are you going to take the shortcut? You're going to do what's easy, and you're just going to put your house on top of the ground, because after you build your house, it looks just like the other house that built its deeper foundation, right? Nothing can tell those two things apart. However, the difference between those who build their houses with the deep foundation and those who just build it on top, it appears very quickly when the spring rains come, when the flooding comes through, and all of a sudden the houses that are on the shifting sand start shifting and wobbling and cracking, and some of them even collapsing. If you wanted to be confident that your house was safe for you and your family, you had to do the hard work of digging down deep. So knowing how houses were built, now we can unpack the two types of people Jesus is describing with this parable and what he's ultimately trying to teach us today. In this parable, he's saying that every one of us is a builder. Every person is a builder. Every person falls into one of these two categories. All of us either are hearing Jesus' words and are following them, obeying them, putting them into practice, or we're ignoring them. We're allowing inactivity to say that maybe that's a great message, Jesus, but we're still living our life our own way. We all fall into one of two camps. Every one of us is a builder. And while we may not be building houses, each one of us is building our own life. Every one of us, when you're a child, you probably have parents telling you, you have a future. Who do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up? Now that we're adults, many of us in this room, we still have hopes, we have dreams, we have belongings, and we have relationships with various people. And those are all the result of who we've become and the life that we've built. Some people have a lot of really fancy things, and they're all about their status. Other people have a sterling reputation. Some people have a terrible reputation. No matter where you are, it's because of how you built that life. So everyone's a builder, and we're all building our own life. We all have gotten to where we've gotten because of the effort and the choices that we have put into our lives thus far. The difference between these two different types of people Jesus is describing, these two builders, is not the type of house they're building. Everybody's building a life. Every builder's building a house. The difference is the foundation on which they are building their houses, or the foundation on which we are building our lives. So, the first thing we see in this passage is that people who hear the words of Jesus and obey them are like the wise builder. That's kind of the first verse summarized. People who hear the words of Jesus and put them into practice or obey them are like the wise builder. So wise people obey. Back in Jesus' day, it was really common in the Roman Empire for philosophers to sit out in the public square and to wax poetically about their thoughts and how they viewed life and what was important and what wasn't important. And people would go out and listen to these guys. It was a really popular time for this exchange of ideas. However, the result of these many words was not many changed lives. It was just a thought of how things might add up in this world. But Jesus has a completely different expectation for the people who've come out to listen to this message. He's not saying that he's like one of the philosophers. Come and listen and decide for yourself and go, very wise teacher. He's saying, take what I've said and actually do it. Don't just let this be ideas in your mind. Let this become actions on your hands and your feet that transform how you live and how you interact with other people. Even if the teaching that Jesus is giving is challenging, even if it goes against what others are doing or what you've been taught is wise in the past, Jesus is calling you to believe and trust what he's saying is true, and that it's good for you, that it's better for you, and that it is the way to reach God. That's what Jesus is telling us in this parable. It's very reminiscent of how James puts it in his letter in James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. That being deceptive, deceived is like to think, oh, I've got it all down because I've heard it and I know what to do. No, if all you do is listen and know, that doesn't count. That's being deceived. Don't do that. He ends it, do what it says. It sounds so simple. Like, as I was preparing this message, I thought, how is this going to be more than a 10-minute message? But I'm a preacher, and so I found a way. So, we know that it's easy to hear what you're supposed to do. It's much harder to actually follow it. It's easier to do what you want to do. It's easier to say, but this is what I want. This is what I feel comfortable with. This is what I believe. It's a lot harder to listen to somebody else who's challenging maybe your beliefs, who's challenging what you think is best, and say, you know what? I'm going to trust that, and I'm going to do that instead. But that's what Jesus wants from those who follow him. In fact, he makes obedience this important piece for all of us through all of his teaching. He says obedience allows you to live the life like the wise builder who built his house on solid rock. Both those building a house on solid rock and being obedient both take intentionality. They both take effort. They're not easy. There's a cost to both of those things. That's why he compares them. But they both yield tremendous results. Next, I want to point out something that might have caught Jesus' audience by surprise. They would have expected him to talk about obedience to the Torah, obedience to the Old Testament law, obedience to the prophets. That's what the Pharisees have been teaching for hundreds and hundreds of years. For Jesus to say, you know, don't just listen, but do the law of the prophets, they would have nodded approvingly and said, yeah, absolutely. Because in their minds, they're hearing things like Deuteronomy chapter 6, where Moses wrote, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe, so that you may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. And then the rest of Deuteronomy is giving the law to the people. The expectation was that everybody obeyed the law, the Torah. But Jesus comes along and he changes it. He instead tells them to obey his words and his teachings from this Sermon on the Mount that he just taught. This Sermon on the Mount where he repeatedly said, you have heard that it was said, but I tell you The Sermon on the Mount that commands them to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be peacemakers, to be light and salt. The Sermon on the Mount that taught them that anger is the equivalent of murder and that lust is the equivalent of adultery, where it gives the directives to turn the other cheek and to love your enemy, to stop worrying and stop judging other people. This was a sermon that touched every facet of life. And Jesus is saying, he's not saying, hey, make sure you follow the law of Moses. He's saying, follow what I'm teaching you today. He taught with an authority that was unexpected to the people, and it was very much unappreciated by the religious leaders. He had an authority that pointed everybody to himself. So at the end of this sermon, he gives this parable that very bluntly says, don't just listen, but actually do what I'm saying. Throughout Jesus' life, he teaches that obedience is critical. So often when we think of Jesus' teaching, we think about his love, the love of God. We think about his grace, that he's got forgiveness for all of our sins. And that is absolutely part central to Jesus' teaching. But obedience is equally central to what Jesus teaches his disciples. That's why in his very last conversation with his disciples before he was arrested in the upper room, we read in John chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus tells his disciples, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Jesus ties obedience to Jesus' commands to the love of Jesus and the love of God. So he's not just all about love. You have to balance that with, you want to show God that you love him? Then obey him. Those two things are completely interwoven in John chapter 14. And then the result of that obedience to Jesus' teaching is that you will be able to withstand the storms. Just like the house the wise man builds on the rock, the house which can take the rain and the rising streams and the wind beating against it without falling down. So is the life of the person who is obedient to Jesus' teaching. Notice that both the wise and the foolish builder, they both face storms. In this life, it doesn't matter if you're a follower of Jesus or not, you're going to go through hard times. You're going to have challenges. Things are going to go the wrong way. People are going to misunderstand you and try to start a fight. Accidents happen. Tragedy reaches everyone. If you've lived any number of years, you know that is true. Whether you love Jesus with all your heart or you can't stand him, that's just part of our human experience. We're all going to go through the storms. However, for those of us who can say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, we face storms differently. Rather than looking at our circumstances and saying, woe is me, how am I going to survive this? We look at our God. We look at the teachings of Jesus and we say, as long as I keep my feet planted here, I trust that God will be my refuge. I trust that Jesus will be my safe space. I trust that God will bring me through this. And there's a second aspect to this storm piece here. In Jewish literature outside of the Bible, often storms referred to the final judgment of God. And so another way you can look at this is ultimately at the end of this life, every person is going to face a supernatural eternal storm where we stand before God. And those of us who have built our life on Jesus and have been obedient to Jesus and have shown him our love through our obedience, we're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what the wise builder is going to hear after they have withstood all the storms of life, reached the final judgment, and Jesus says, come on home. Unfortunately, not everyone builds their life like this. Jesus knows that there's others in the crowd who have just heard the same sermon that his disciples have heard, but they respond in a very different way. They might nod approvingly, that sounds really good, But then they go out and they just ignore his teachings. They take the easy way out, never